Occasionally.
They just come and go.
They turn up. We just got one recently that turned up and had some kittens in the barn. And then one of our neighbours decided to take it off and rehome it, leaving said kittens motherless.
Any gingers?
No, it's very good at catching rats and mice.
Yeah, though. I was going to say, ours have never had the chance of a rat.
No, I saw one marching down the road the other day with a rat sitting over its back.
Did they bring them inside?
No, thank God, the cats don't come inside, you know. I'm like Adam, I'm not a cat lover, I suffer them to it.
Yeah, I mean, I basically think all animals should be outside. I mean, certainly my childhood, all animals were outside, but there weren't anything allowed in the house, but I mean that's not the norm anymore. That was my grandmother. That was like an aberration. Keeping a kind of decorative small dogs by women that did a lot of shopping.
It's an amazing thing that in the sort of like the 20s and 30s, people bred all these exotic animals, didn't they? And it was like the first sort of meddling with genetics, really, that, you know, people had fancy pigeons and hens and dogs and
they got that period.
Well, that period is when the mass sort of the fancy, as they called it, when everybody sort of started meddling and breeding all these pigeons with feathers on the toes and things, and it was just like going down the genetic line, so they would crossbreed and line breed, and it's when genetics, you know, like sort of first became massively interesting, really, to the common man, as you might say.
I mean, is that when pet ownership kind of
I would say so. But they were kept for a reason, in the fact that people actually took them to shows, didn't they, and were very proud of breeding this new sort of thing. It's, you know, sort of like the black tulip sort of
I mean, people always come up with some ludicrous dog and go, yeah, I mean, dash hounds, yeah, they're for cattle herding. ridiculous species seems to have some bizarre use.
Yeah. Could be that's where they started, though, and then there were so mutated
They became hopeless.
Maybe it wasn't cattle, maybe it was something else.
But cat breeding has no such justification. Cat breeding is entirely ornamental. So the diversification of these fancy
animals. How old is the history of cat breeding?
Well, lots of those Asian breeds date back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So people were breeding Siamese and Burmese cats for large.
But it was purely about the sort of aesthetic reasons.
500-600 years ago.
Yeah.
Because you could never really say a cat's better at X job because it's got shorter legs or a longer tail. They just kill vermin, whatever shape or size.
The interesting thing you've had recently is breeding to help people with allergic reactions to animals, you know, these sort of labradoodles and things, which allow people to have something like a Labrador, but will make them sneeze.
Because they've now
Labradoodle.
They fixed the law in the canteen, so they can say,
is that like Scooby Doo and Scrappy Doo?
Exactly.
People are breeding dogs as, you know, guards, so you've got the
There's a bit of that as well.
Very small men with very big dogs. It's very strange phenomenon, isn't it, really, that they're not really want them as a pet or a companion. It's just something that
status
they want
symbol.
Them, status symbol.
Yeah, there's lots of status symbol dogs in London.
I guess that's what Asian cats were. They must have been status symbols a few hundred years ago to have the most exotic.
I'm sure Genghis Khan sends cat on his enemies, didn't he?
Well, Egyptian cats, obviously.
Think about it. Look at my cat.
Yeah,
look at
my cat. They were gods.
Closer to heaven than earthly people. But there's a new breed of cat called the Ashira, which is a wild cat-sized cat, very large cat, and that's just an accessory. It's bought by people in Japan and Los Angeles. It's quite big. I've seen images of it. And it's about sort of that high off the ground.
Where does it live naturally?
It's a breed. So it's 50% and 50% of the genes. And it's about $22,000 for a kitten.
But what's the characteristic of this cat that's particularly interesting?
It's big. It looks wild. And it behaves in quite a sort of aggressive manner. Because it is wild.
Everything you want is a cat.
That's the holy grail in cat breeding, is a cat that looks like a wild cat.
Is it that
holy grail? That's what people are trying to do.
Yeah, like Bengals.
It's very like a Bengal.
Thank you.
And a lot of dogs are, you know, popular dogs are wild-looking dogs.
You mean huskies?
Yeah, huskies.
Yeah.
Well, there's been a bit of a trend, certain people like that.
There's a status like in Africa where they keep hyenas.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
And that's just like, you know, as a defensive attacking animal, massive animal.
Mm.
You know, it's a, sort of what's available to you. Well, we can't get these thoroughbred dogs, so we'll just have hyenas.
Yes.
Like, okay.
How do they get
the
Ridgebacks.
Yeah.
Ridgebacks,
yeah. Yeah, I saw one
today. Somebody here has got one.
Yeah, I saw it today.
They run the outdoor centre.
Yeah, it looked good.
We have an old family story about pugs, which was a friend of family who was talking to somebody on the phone, a keen pug owner, and they had like 12 pugs or something. And the guy was talking on the phone, and they spent their whole life trying to keep these pugs off the furniture. That was it. Whenever you saw them, all they were doing was trying to keep pugs off the furniture. Anyway, this chap was on the phone. He said, "Oh, that's odd. The pugs have all jumped up on Bethel, and she died."